Good morning, Indianapolis. Maxwell Gilly here. Hey, we have made it. It is Wednesday, and it is time for a stick in the news. As always, we are joined by
Cooper Bates, and as always,
Malachi Brown.
And we are here with the stick in the news. It's the show where we talk about all of the funny news that we can find. And we're going to go first to Virginia, where apparently they had to have a legal battle about cheese. So there was a store that was trying to sell a certain type of cheese, and the town of Grier, Switzerland, sued the U.S. District Court in Virginia due to trademark because they believed that the cheese that is known for being a smooth melting cheese has been made to exact standards of their region since the 12th century, and cheese that is made outside of there can't be known as Grier cheese anymore. So they had to get into a whole legal battle about it, and now they have to find a different name for the cheese, which is dumb because it's just cheese.
I was about to make a terrible pun, but I stopped myself there.
Proud of you.
Was it a cheesy pun?
Yes, it was. How'd you guess?
Because we're comedians. We've known each other for a little bit.
Ah, yes, indeed. The entire situation is stupid in my eyes. I can understand where they're coming from, but it's just a stupid situation.
It doesn't matter. It's
cheese.
Exactly.
They'll be sold out in like a week.
They're like, oh, we are only the ones who are allowed to make this certain cheese because we want to make all the money. No. Cheese is for everyone. Let's get that trending. Cheese for everyone.
Yeah, you heard it. Everyone tweet out hashtag cheese for everyone.
At WBDG Indy on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. At Giant.9 on TikTok. If you can do that. I don't think you really can.
I mean, you kind of can. I mean, I don't know much about it. I know you can put hashtags and such in, you know, videos.
Let's go. Let's make that trend.
We need to make cheese for everyone a trend. Woo, cheese for everyone.
So I know you have a story you wanted to get to.
Oh, yeah. I have a very interesting one. So we all have all had the feeling you've been in a car when someone's gotten pulled over, right?
No.
No?
No.
You've never have?
No.
Have you ever seen it happen?
Oh, yeah, I see it happen all the time.
Yeah, you know how, you know, the officer usually walks out, you know, in his uniform, you know, talks to the driver?
Yep, and then you have the dun-dun-dun-dun that plays in your head when they're walking by.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what happens. I'm an expert, obviously.
Ah, anyway, we have a Florida man arrested for using a Chevy Camaro to impersonate a police officer. Yeah, so we had a car dealership employee who was arrested by police in Jacksonville, Florida after using a Chevy Camaro to impersonate a police officer. A real officer was at the scene of a pullover by the Chevy Camaro on I-95, as reported, under the impression that the Chevy Camaro driver was an undercover officer. The officer pulled over nearby just in case he needed help at the traffic stop. He observed the Chevy Camaro driver standing next to the driver's side window being handed something back to the driver, and he drove away. Officer thought it was strange that the Camaro driver did not acknowledge his presence or thank him for providing backup, so he followed the vehicle and ran its tags. Ironically enough, it was a real police vehicle. It had been sent to the dealership to get the blue and red lights installed on it. Which I think is kind of funny that a fake officer was inside.
Wow.
You would have thought that after, you know, the pullover, the officer would have noticed that the man didn't have a uniform on.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the tags were in an actual police. It was just outside of the city. It was in a city nearby of Green Cove Springs, not Jacksonville. An officer pulled right next to the Camaro to wave at the officer, which is customary between deputies and such, but the guy did not wave back. Still suspicious, the officer called the Green Cove Springs Police Department and inquired one of their officers would pull someone outside of their jurisdiction. A dispatcher told the police officer that the Chevy Camaro he had seen had recently been bought into the Ford dealership to have its police lights installed. An investigation was then conducted by the Green Cove Springs Police, found the Chevy Camaro driver was actually a Ford employee who had decided to use the vehicle to impersonate an officer, The suspect, who is 41-year-old Fernando Torres of Orange Park, Florida, was later arrested and charged with false impersonation of law enforcement and unlawful use of blue lights. And he was fired.
Oh, gee, I wonder why. Wow. I can't believe it. I mean, you just had the whole, like, description out there. All of the whole police work just being done just like that.
Okay, I wonder what was going on in his head whenever he thought, I'm gonna drive this car and do this.
I'm powerful. I can pull someone over.
Yeah, he wanted...
I'm gonna clean up these streets.
It was probably like, I want to make some extra dough, so I'm going to give you a ticket, and then I'm going to get the money, even though I don't think that would work
still. That's not how that works. Yeah, no. Because it would... The money would go to the city.
Exactly. So, I don't know what they were thinking. Do we have, like, a picture of the car
that
we can describe?
We can absolutely describe it. It is quite literally just the 2015 yellow Camaro. Like Bumblebee, they're literally, it's just the Camaro with lights on the, like, in the grill.
So, shouldn't a red flag have been that it's a yellow Camaro pulling over, considering that? Now, I'm not from Jacksonville, obviously. I've been there only once, but I don't believe that their police cars are yellow in Jacksonville.
Undercover, that's the fun thing about undercover cars. Like, for example, Brownsburg, which I'm from, at one time had a undercover red minivan.
But so, did it have the light bar above it?
No.
Like that car did.
No, that's the... Well, it didn't even have it. The thing about undercover cars is all the lights are on the inside. It had lights on it.
No,
there
I
were
know.
Police lights in the vehicle that clearly showed it was a police car. Same thing with the van. Just, it's painted a different color to give the suspicion that it's not a police officer. Because when you look for a police officer, you're looking for a black and white car.
That's true.
Kind of suspicious if there's a black and white Camaro following you.
You're not wrong there, but just here's our word of advice, people. Don't pretend to be a police officer. That never works out. And then you get to ride in a real police car.
Yeah, and you get to ride all the way down to a federal prison.
Yep.
And then you get to stay there for 15 years.
Oh, not that long, I thought. You
well,
never
this guy
know.
Got 15 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, dang. That's a while.
His life's over.
I'm pretty sure impersonating an officer is a felony.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, people. You heard it here first. Don't impersonate a police officer.
It will not end well.
No, it will not. We're going to now be heading to Oakland, California. We like to find the weirdest houses that we can here on WBDG with a stick in the news. We've gone anywhere from a burned house to an extremely tiny house, both of which were in Boston. Now we're going to be going to San Francisco, where a decaying 122-year-old house has been marketed as the worst house on the best block of San Francisco, selling for nearly $2 million. It is a $1.97 million cash offer for a 200-square-meter property in the No Valley neighborhood, and it is just the worst house in there. It looks ugly. It's very bad. I don't know why you would want to pay this much money for it. It's $1 million for a crappy house. Why in the world is it worth it just if you're in that special neighborhood is my question.
So it's a house. Does anything else come with the house?
Doesn't look like there's anything interesting that comes with this house. Actually, yes. You get boarded up windows and peeling paint and an unstable foundation.
That's free wood.
Yeah, that's what comes with it.
$1 million wood, or however expensive it is.
It's going to be great when it just collapses, when you step too far and then just break the floor.
You know what I recommend instead if you want to spend that much money on a house?
What?
Rent an apartment in San Francisco.
I was going to say New York.
Oh, well, yeah. Either or, they're interchangeable. For 2 days, that'll get rid of $1 million fast.
Yep. There's a great piece of advice there from Cooper. Hey. Rent expensive houses, but yeah, no. Why do people buy stupid houses?
I mean, if we're talking about stupid houses in San Francisco, there's one that has a bridge pillar literally going through the middle of it for $300,000.
I'll buy it. A bridge pillar breaking the house. I think that'd be great.
No, it's not broken. It just goes right through the house. It was built that way.
That's dumb. Why would they do that?
I don't know, man. There's not a lot of space there, and there's a lot of people and money to be made.
That's true. That is true there. Malachi, I know you have a news story.
Yeah.
You got a good one.
This one is...
Is?
Kind of dumb, okay? It's... Imagine if you take that house, mm-hmm. and you shave off a piece of that wood, and you make a piece of paper, and nope. you make a comic, and you sell that one page for $3.36 million.
Isn't that a fraud?
That's.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure making non-legit copies of a comic worth that much money is fraud.
It's not a copy of it. If you're the original person that made it.
You just said you should take off the wood and turn it into paper.
No, I did not.
He was making an example.
I said imagine.
I like what you were doing.
Thank you. See, imagine doing that. Like this.
Why would you imagine committing fraud? That's a bad mind space.
You know, you're needing to.
I muted him. Don't worry. You can continue.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The Black Spider-Man from 1984 comic book. One page, page 25, was sold for $3.36 million.
Why?
A single page selling for...
Yeah.
You can't even look at it.
No, it's dumb.
You can't even hold it.
We had, like, the Superman one last week that... was sold for like $1.2 million, but that was like the entire thing. Not just a single page.
Wait, okay, the starting bid was $336,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez, it went up by
someone
10%.
Really wanted Spider-Man. Yeah.
I mean, props to whoever was selling that, man. Because how much would it have originally been? It had to be like a quarter or something. Just the original comic, not just the single page.
A quarter or a nickel.
Yeah, something like that. From the 80s, a single comic page.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say.
That is crazy.
And just because it was the Black Spider-Man is why it's worth so much?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really
See, when you first said that, I immediately thought of Venom for some reason. Because I'm like, oh, Spider-Man,
It was like from Spider-Man 2. That's kind of what happened. Like, Venom was kind of introduced and then was like taking over Spider-Man. So that's why he became Black Spider-Man. Because it was, I guess, bad Spider-Man or whatever. I watched that movie.
Yeah, it doesn't even really say what the... Okay, wait. No, it doesn't even say what the comic is called or anything.
What is this from the Associated Press, I'm assuming? Something like that? Yep, I was correct.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really know
what
you're talking
about.
The details
should be in there. That's the newspaper thing. You got it from the news site. That's what I was referring to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a weird thing to sell for $3 million, but I guess it did.
Whatever it takes to be making your money, props to you for whoever was selling that. So, it seems like it's a difficult thing to do, you know, trying to win the lottery, right? Well, when I've been doing research for this show, turns out that a lot of people win the lottery every single day. But
there's a lot of lottery.
Yeah, a lot of people get it for weird reasons, though. Like, the latest is a South Carolina man who left a fast food drive-thru without placing an order when he discovered he had won $300,000 in lottery prizes. The Anderson, South Carolina man... told officials he was waiting in a long drive-through line when he decided to scratch off a lottery ticket he had purchased earlier in a, like, gas station there. He was shocked when he won $300,000. He had to double and triple check it. Had to make sure his heart was working. And then he ended up leaving the drive-through line without placing an order. I don't understand why you wouldn't place an order if you're already in line. Did you just won $300,000? But I guess he wanted to go straight to the South Carolina Gaming Commissioner, whoever you get to. But yeah, imagine you're in McDonald's, all right? You're waiting in line. You're like, oh, hey, I got a lottery ticket. And then you win $300,000. Your reaction is what?
I'd be happy if I even won $25.
I'd be happy if I won
just
$1, and then I could buy candy.
That's true.
Well, not anymore. You can't.
Well, with tax, yeah.
Yeah, it's like $1.75 now.
Okay, well, if I find something that's 50 cents, perfect.
That's true.
Ah, there you go.
By the way, the winner of this said he is going to now retire after winning $300,000.
Wow. Good for him.
So, congratulations to our man from Anderson, South Carolina, being the big lottery winner. You know what we've been doing, Cooper? We're going to be sticking to the news. He's just staring at me in disappointment right now because I do the same joke each and every single week, expecting a different result. One day, I feel like you're just going to leave. I'm just going to do that one time and just going to be like, nope. You know, open the door and then leave.
No, that's only if the news is too outrageous.
That's true. We're going to be heading now to India, where a young man broke a Guinness World Record when he bounced a soccer ball on his knee for 6 minutes and 16 seconds. The man said a long period of time existed between deciding to take on the record and his successful attempt. He dedicated 2 years of his life to this feat. He was browsing the internet one day and found a world record that he wanted to break. After days and months of consistent practice, he filed the application, got approval, and registered in the Guinness Book of World Records. And seeing my interest in sports, he said, my teachers always encouraged me, so because of them, he wouldn't have been able to set the world record without them. So, Malachi, do you think you could balance a soccer ball on your knee for at least 6 minutes and now 17 seconds to break his world record?
Right now, definitely not. Do I feel like somebody will be able to break that? Not very hard. Yeah, because it's to balance something. It's hard, but after you get the muscle memory down and stuff like that, it's not that bad. The only thing you'd have to work on is really being able to hold your leg up that long.
I mean, Maokai, we will have to. We're gonna throw an attempt out to break a world record during our marathon for the show. I don't know, Maokai. Think you could be up to a task like that?
Definitely not right now, because I've never ever tried to hold a ball on my knee.
Well, you got 4 months to get ready, Malachi. Are you gonna do it? Are we gonna Are we gonna have verbal confirmation right now?
Where are you talking about on your knee?
Looks like it's just like right on top of your knee. Like here's
okay,
the
yeah,
picture.
Okay.
Yeah, right on knee.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. That I don't think would be the hardest thing in the world, but beating the record would be pretty hard.
So are you willing to try it at least?
I don't know.
Great radio
great
content.
Answer.
You're
yeah.
supposed
sorry.
To say yes.
I'm
and,
sorry.
And
I just
then
don't
we forget about it.
In a short amount of time.
Drama.
In a short amount of time, I don't think I could beat that.
Wow.
6 minutes is a pretty short amount of time.
No, it's not, man. Like, it will just feel like forever when you're
yeah,
doing
yeah, holding
that,
a ball, okay. It's so hard to hold a ball. Like, on your feet, I can hold a ball with my foot, like, on the top. But after so long, it starts to hurt. So, like a minute, and it's going to start hurting.
I think you could do it. I believe in you, Malachi.
Thank you.
I believe in you.
I just would need some time.
Well, you got 4 months.
That's true.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well,
we'll find out.
I'll hold it at least a minute.
There you go. Good enough.
We're going to be heading now to a Tennessee highway. So, anytime you're on the highway, you know, a long time, you can see weird things on the highway.
Yep.
All the time. Well, imagine you see the world's largest cast iron skillet traveling down the highway beside you. Well, that's exactly what drivers on a Tennessee highway encountered when they saw a 14,360-pound cast iron skillet on the back of a semi-truck. It was going to be heading to some museum. I believe it is the Lodge Cast Iron Museum. I don't know why exactly you'd want to go to one just about cast irons, but hey, some people are interested in it. But imagine you're just driving and you see just this giant cast iron pan on the highway. What is your thought?
Do you know how unsurprising that would be for me?
What do you mean?
I've seen by far some of the weirdest things ever on the back of a semi-truck on the highway.
What are some examples?
Well, if you really want an example, I found almost a life-size Thomas the Tank Engine on the back of one. That was a weird vacation. It was around the South Carolina area.
Did they, like, put something to cover Thomas's face? Yeah, I saw a picture of that recently, and it was weird. Just on the back of it, it had, like, essentially a full face mask on top of Thomas.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they're doing. I'm assuming it's part of, like, a play or something. Or, like, a musical. I don't know.
No, it's like... I went to one of them once. Like, they just go to random small towns, and then there's just Thomas the Tank Engine there.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not like the Shrek the Musical?
No, why would they have a giant Thomas the Tank Engine musical?
I don't know, man. If Shrek can have one of the most successful musicals of our time, then...
Don't talk bad about Shrek the Musical. That was a good one.
Shrek the Musical is unironically good. If you guys want to watch it, you can find some shows of theirs on YouTube. It's unironically pretty good.
I can't believe we already got back to Shrek. I mean, earlier we played a remix of Wrecking Ball and All-Star, calling it Shrekking Ball. So to all of our listeners who heard that earlier, we're sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Why aren't you sorry?
Malachi's not sorry.
It's funny.
Let's just say it's Malachi's fault now.
It was pretty good, though.
It was. It was. Well, we like to go around the world here, anywhere from South Carolina to India. Now we're going to be heading to London, where someone has decided to abandon their pet. The issue is it was a tarantula. The RSPCA said commuters spotted the tarantula in a plastic tub on a train that arrived at London Bridge Station. Tarantula was then handed off to station staff members who contacted the RSPCA. Animal Rescue Officer Matt Hawkins visited the station to bring the spider, identified it as a pink-tailed tarantula, and, quote, passengers got more than they bargained for when they spotted this little guy on the train. He was shut inside a plastic tube, so we believed he'd been abandoned on the carriage. Thankfully, passengers alerted staff. And, by the way, this type of tarantula is a native to Central and South America, so it was obviously a pet of some kind. My question is this: why in the world would someone decide to take their tarantula on the train?
You ever take your fish for a swim?
No.
You live anywhere where it floods?
Yeah, I've had some areas that flood, yeah.
Then you need to take your fish for a walk.
You are a funny man.
So the guy was deciding to take his tarantula for a walk?
I don't know. I don't even know if he had, like, actually abandoned it or if he just forgot about it.
I mean, it could very well just be you forgot about it, but...
Yeah, like they just got it or something.
Why get a tarantula, right, and take care of it and stuff, and then leave it somewhere?
No, you gotta stop there. Why get a tarantula?
What if you live in South America or Australia?
You already have to deal with bigger spiders. Why would you keep one as a pet?
I don't know, man.
Australia
that's
has
scary.
Some weird spiders, man.
I'm pretty sure the Goliath bird-eating tarantula is the biggest one that's out there.
Okay. But what if you get a tarantula and you train it to like you? And
how
then
do you
it kills
train a
spiders,
spider?
And then it kills spiders.
Just get a cat at that point.
That's true.
A cat does the exact same thing. It's easier to train and you don't even have to train it to eat spiders.
Fine.
That's no. Let Malachi be a spider trainer.
What? Yeah. How do you train a spider?
You.
Exactly. I don't.
Okay. Some of them don't bite people.
You didn't let him finish. Go ahead.
Some of them don't bite people, so why not just keep it from biting you? And then you just train it to eat other spiders.
I hate to break it to you. Most spiders do, in fact, bite, and most of them are, in fact, venomous to us.
Okay, so?
Just admit.
Doesn't mean they won't like you.
Just admit you want to become Spider-Man, Malachi. You just want to get bitten by a spider and become Spider-Man.
He's going to be bitten by a black widow, be like, wow, I'm going to turn into a spider, and then he's going to go to the hospital.
Well, I mean, now we can say he's Black Widow.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, for like 5 minutes.
That's true, and then you'll be...
And then you'll be no longer Malachi. Yeah.
I'll no longer be with us.
Pretty much. I don't think there's a cure to that kind of spider venom. I know it's highly venomous.
Unless you're me.
Ironically enough, I'm pretty sure it's in the United Kingdom.
So. Oh, good thing for me.
Yeah, it was in London where they found the spider.
Buy one.
Yeah, you find the spider there. You can also find a black widow there. Where can't you find black widows?
I don't know. PetSmart? I know you
scary.
Can't find them there.
You can find hamsters there.
Well, that's true. I don't know how
spiders
we get from
are
black
the scariest
widows.
Thing, just saying.
I don't know, man. Snakes.
Snake, how? They're much bigger.
I like snakes better because snakes don't have many legs.
Yeah, but they
well, not
they
that they
can,
have legs.
Like,
spiders are so
still
smaller.
Bite you with their, like, if they have venom, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
They could still bite you, and they got a big one. Some of them.
Yeah, but normally the ones around here, see, the main reason I'm not scared of them is because there's normally just garden snakes or something like that.
Yeah, we usually have garden snakes, but we do have highly venomous snakes in Indiana. We got, I think it's like a brown head or something, or copperhead. We got very, not fun to be bitten by snakes. But yeah, most of ours are garden snakes, and whenever my mom sees one, she freaks out because she hates snakes. So, and yet she loves gardening. Does not go well.
No, I don't think it does go well at all.
What's our next story looking like?
We're going to be doing a one that kind of went viral yesterday on Twitter. Everyone knows Weird Al, you know, famous for all of his parody songs. He's going to be making a movie. And it is going to be a biopic about himself. So, who should play him?
Himself?
I agree.
Me too.
But he doesn't want it to be. He wants
really?
To have the actor of Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, do it.
He wants Daniel Radcliffe to play Weird Al.
Yep.
That's weird.
How is that going to work?
I don't know. I mean, he'd have
no
to...
No wonder his name's Weird Al.
Fair enough.
I guess so. He said that the biopic delves into every facet of his life, including his rise to fame and his early hits like Eat It and Like a Surgeon. And he said when his last movie came out in 1989, he made a solemn vow to his fans that he would release a major motion picture every 33 years, like clockwork. Whoa. And he's very happy to say they're on schedule.
Why 33?
It's Weird Al.
That's a fair note. Yeah. You don't even understand. That's a very fair point.
Yeah.
I don't know why he decided that. You want to know what? 33 years.
Most people only get 233 years.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, what are the odds that still he has just kept being like, I want to only do it every 33 years.
So where's it going to be filmed?
They're still in the production phases of it, so.
Fair enough.
Don't know. It's going to be on Roku.
Oh.
I guess.
Yeah. You know, like, the Roku channel, or...
It looks like it is going to be on the Roku channel, so if
the device has many streaming platforms.
So... Yeah. I don't know exactly where it is. We're going to get, obviously, a lot more information. Would you guys watch Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al in this movie?
I don't know.
If it was good.
Maybe. I don't know.
You want to know what? I think I will, even if it is just awful.
Yeah, I would watch it just to watch it.
Exactly. You can just watch it once, and if you hate it, you hate it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like a Rat Race-style movie?
I have no idea. I really don't.
That's such a weird movie design.
So is Daniel Radcliffe the actual, like, Harry Potter?
Yes, yeah. He's the actual Harry Potter.
Okay.
And it was 20 years ago, and that's all he's going to probably be remembered for.
Which is not a terrible thing to be remembered for. Those were insanely successful movies.
Yep. He had it made when he was, like, 11 years old.
Yeah.
And already just will forever be famous. So,
sheesh money.
To be heading again to England, I guess we're stuck there now, where police in England said they found a seal wandering near the center of a town, and they led the officers on a pursuit. It is one of the slower pursuits that the officers have had to do, because this seal managed to flee to a nearby lawyer's office. Humberside police said the seal was spotted underneath a parked car early Thursday morning, and the animal fled when officers approached. Unfortunately, Seal didn't want to hang around, resulting in one of our slower pursuits, according to the police. They had to get wildlife rescue people, of course, to help get him. They do not know how the Seal managed to end up in the middle of Grimsby, England. They say they hope that there was no human factor in its location, although it has been known to happen elsewhere in the UK. We know he couldn't have come in via the docks nearby due to the large water turbines just outside. So I guess the more important question is, how did the Seal get in the city? And then imagine you have to do a slow police chase to get a Seal.
My question is, how didn't the police catch it sooner? It's a Seal on land. They don't go that fast.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know how it had to go into a police chase. You just have to scoop it up. It's that simple. It's under a car. I mean, yes, maybe it just runs away on the other side.
How does it run away? It's so slow.
That's true.
They can't walk.
Maybe
they just wiggle.
It's so heavy, they didn't have anything to be able to actually get it.
Well, they can stop it. There were officers, not officer.
Yeah, it was more multiple. Than one. I mean, heck, just get a second one. If it's I don't know this much about Grimsby, England, so I don't know if it's a major crime-ridden city. But if it's a smaller town, just get another unit just to help them. I mean, I don't understand why. First of all, I'm still confused how in the world it got into the middle of England. They don't know either. Looks like it was someone's pet. And this goes back to one of our key important things we talk about each and every single week, which is if you have wild animals, make sure you keep them in their pens. Yeah. But in this case, I don't think you're supposed to be owning a Seal, so don't own a Seal.
Don't be like the New York Tiger Man.
What's the New York Tiger Man?
The New York Tiger Man lived on the fifth story floor of an apartment building in the heart of New York City. He had a 200-pound tiger from India.
Oh, wow.
He had four lions, two tigers. He had to give the lions away to a zoo, and he kept one of the tigers. It then mauled him almost to death.
Oh, gee, I wonder why. Maybe it's you shouldn't be keeping these big wild animals in your house. There was a thought. Why didn't they take both tigers is my question. Why'd they allow him to keep them if they took the lions?
Well, they didn't take the lions. He gave them away.
Well, then why wouldn't they do an investigation and be like, how in the world do you have four lions? What other
you
ones
don't
do
you ask
have?
Where you get the lions. You just get lions.
Yeah.
Max, do you not know how this goes down?
No, I obviously
do not
know.
Yeah, you're
not
in the black market industry?
Not what I'm going for, Maokai.
No, I'm just kidding.
If you receive a donation of lions, right, from someone, the odds are that person just found them.
I guess so.
And that they were someone else's pet.
I guess so.
The sanctuaries really don't ask many questions. Maybe they'd be like, hey, where'd you get these? He's probably going to say, oh, yeah, I found them around or somewhere, and I picked them up.
Oh, yeah, I just found them on the street, and I took them in. Word of advice, again, it's not worth it to get these big animals. They'll probably try and kill you. That's, I think, how we're going to end this week. Don't get big lions. Don't get big tigers. Stay safe, everybody. I guess that's how we should actually end.
Sounds
it.
Good to me.
All right. So for Cooper Bates and Malachi Brown, I am Maxwell Gilley, and this has been A Stick in the News. We will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, everybody.